Genesis chapter number 2, we're looking at where we were on Wednesday night. We started a study on Wednesday night on settling for less. Settling for less. And we're wanting to, or not that we're wanting to, it's the Lord impressed our heart to come back into this tonight. And we're going to use Adam and Eve tonight as our very first example of people that settled for less. And I'll say some things, several things about that tonight as the Lord leads our heart to do so. Look in chapter 2 and verse number 7. We'll read 7, 8, and 9. And we'll find our springboard from there. And then we'll be over into chapter number 3, pointing out some things. These are familiar. You're familiar with these scriptures about the creation of man as well as the fall of man. And so we're familiar with that. So I'm gonna play on that, in that I won't have to spend a lot of time explaining a lot of things that I believe that you already know. Verse number 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree, notice this statement right here, that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Everybody see that? Pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Let's bow for just a word of prayer and you can be seated. Our Father, we come in Jesus' name and we ask, Lord, that you'll direct our thoughts tonight. Help us, Lord, to preach with liberty and power. Lord, help us to know that what I'm dealing with, and what you're dealing with us about, Lord, is always going to be a challenge to us, as well as always going to be a choice to us. Please help us, Lord, to desire the more rather than the less. Lord, help us to desire to go further, higher, deeper with you than to just settle for the sidelines of observation. I pray now that you will give us, our Father, what we need, Lord, by way of power that will make preaching challenging, that will affect us, that will help us. And Lord, I pray you'll drive home these truths in our heart where we'll be spiritually. Lord, in 5 months or 5 years may very well come from our response to what is being preached in these days. Have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. And we'll be looking in these verses, and I'm dealing with settling for less. Settling for less. And we started this on Wednesday night, and we introduced it a little bit on Sunday night. And we got to right here because Adam and Eve's going to be our first Bible example. And I think that's a good place to start because that's where it all started. Amen, that's where it all started. So we find in chapter number 2, verse 7, 8, and 9, and some other verses in chapter 2 talks about where Adam and Eve was created and that God put them in a garden that, according to verse number 9, had a lot of trees that they could eat on, feed on. The Bible said that there was the trees there growing in the garden was pleasant to the sight and good for food. Well, when the devil, the serpent, began to work with Adam and Eve in chapter number 3, verse number 6, he begins to use those same terminology. And I'll comment more on that because that's going to be one of the points that I'm going to look at tonight. In verse 6, he said, and when the woman saw that the tree, that is the tree of knowledge of good and evil, was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And so the devil won a great victory right there that day, didn't he? There's no doubt. And so I want us to look at Adam and Eve, and I want to look at the first man and first woman, and their collapse came from the very thought of settling for less. Eve settled for what was forbidden. She settled for less. when God had bigger things and better things for her. And so I want us to look at that tonight and I want to say a few things about that. Let me just point out a few sayings that we made on Wednesday night. If you weren't here, you will be able to get them. And if you were here, you'll be reminded of them. When you settle for less, normally you will get less than what you settled for. That's a great statement. That's a great statement. When you settle for less, when you're willing to settle for less through your life, then you will normally get less than what you settled for. And so, and then I made a statement Wednesday night about as long as you can live with less, you probably will. I mentioned this Wednesday night as well. Choosing second best generally will not be the final choice. If you are carnal enough to choose the carnal for second best or choose to live on second best, that normally won't be your final choice, because if you go that point, then you'll choose the third best, fourth best, fifth best, right on down the line, okay? But let's look at Adam and Eve tonight and point out some things, just simple principles that the Lord spoke to my heart about and showed me. The first one that I want to bear out to your heart tonight is, number one, less is always present. Adam and Eve was in a garden, a flourishing garden that had a lot of trees they could feed on, but yet in the midst of the garden was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which was definitely less than what God had in plan for them. So can we learn tonight from this principle that we could be surrounded by the blessings of God, but less is always present? It's always just a choice away if we wanted it. Amen? I wrote this down and we're going to move on, because I've got several points that I want to give you, several principles rather. Less is always present. The forbidden tree was in the midst of the garden to test man, not to tempt man. Does that make sense? God allowed that to be placed in the midst of the garden, not to tempt man's sinfulness, but to test man's genuineness. Evil is present with us. Even Paul said evil is present. Less is always present, not to tempt us, but to test us to see how genuine we are. A second truth I want to share with you tonight, not only do we see less is present, but settling for less will always be connected to the command to a commandment failure. When you get that, I'm telling you, God gave me some good stuff on this, I think. Anyway, it fed my soul. Settling for less will always be connected to a commandment failure. You say, where do you get that? I believe it's very evident. God said, don't eat of it. Don't eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. In other words, there's a commandment there. And settling for less, which Eve did and Adam finally did, was a commandment failure. And I want you to listen to some things, Lord, give me on that. And that could be either a commandment to do something or a commandment not to do something, either way. And listen to this. God's commandments are to prevent the lesser choices from being made. Is that not good? God gives commandments. Sometimes you think about commandments, oh my, God don't want us to have any fun. Ever think, you know, God has attached to our life of thou shalt not or thou shalt. But really, the commandments of God are the best of God. God gives commandments because He knows best. When God says don't touch something, He knows why. When God says don't do something, He has a reason for that. He's not just trying to constrain us in and put us in a fenced-in life, you know, and to where we're miserable and we just can't do nothing. And I'm going to say this a little bit later on, but it's on my mind to say it now, so maybe God wants us to repeat it. There's far more liberties with the commandments of God than there are limitations. There wasn't but one tree in the garden, don't eat it. But there was a whole garden, and I'm not talking about a backyard. I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres, if not thousands of acres, amen, of all the trees that they could partake of, but there was one, don't touch it, don't eat of it. So it is a commandment failure. So the God's commandments are to prevent the lesser choices from being made while presenting to you the greater choices. Amen? And I wrote this down, a commandment must be ignored in order to choose the less. You've got to step away from God's word. You've got to step away from what God says in order to settle for less. So I say unto you, it's a commandment failure. Amen? The commands of God, I said it earlier, has more liberties than limitations. I want to give you one more statement on that point God gave me, and then we'll move on. And I want you to get this. I'm going to say it probably twice, because when God was giving it to me, I had to slow down and really think it through. To do less than what God said makes what God said less than what you do. Y'all didn't get that. And I didn't either when the Lord first gave it to me. But the more I thought of it, I thought how true that is. All right, let's say for instance, God says, thou shalt not. Let's just leave it at that. Thou shalt not, or thou shalt, okay? If I choose to do less than that, then really I have made that commandment less than what I actually chose to do. What about that? So I say unto you again, settling for less, and that's always going to be present, it's always going to be a challenge to us in life to settle for less. I wonder how many of us, and I thought about praying last night, I was outside just walking up and down the driveway praying, and I thought about that term, settle. Your Christian life is not fixed. In other words, what level you're on. Where you're at spiritually is not an automatic fixed. It never changes. You don't have to fool with it. You don't have to maintenance it. No, your spiritual life always requires attention, right? Always requires maintenance, upkeep. Amen. So it's not that you and I are where we need to be all the time. No, we're here today. We may be here tomorrow. We may be even higher Tuesday, or we may be lower Tuesday. But what I'm talking about, I believe God's driving home, is don't settle for that. Don't settle for that. Maybe I'm not where I need to be Monday, or even where I was on Sunday, but I don't want to settle for that. I don't want to look at it with favor. I don't want to look at it, well, that's all right. I don't want to look at it and make excuses and say, well, you know, God understands that we're but dust. He knows our frame and He knows what we're made of. He knows how weak we are. And so, you know, God understands. And I've had people to tell me that. I've had people in South Carolina years ago, my first church told me that. Oh, preacher, God understands. We was talking about sin. We was talking about sin in this person's life. Amen. And they made excuses. They said, well, God understands, preacher. I said, no. I said, God don't understand sin. Amen. God never makes excuses for it, but we do. But anyway, so settling for less is always connected to a commandment failure. Number three, help us, Jesus. Amen. That wasn't one of the points. Number three, the third thing the Lord showed me as a principle of settling for less dealing with Adam and Eve is number three, settling for less is always going to be the offer of the serpent. What about that? Who was it that kept trying to draw Eve's attention to the forbidden? It was the serpent. Amen? But now he's so deceptive, he is so powerful that he will talk you into the less, making you think that it's the greatest. He told Eve and convinced Eve that this would be a good move for her, when actually it plunged the whole human race into sin. So listen, you need to write that one down. It always is going to be the offer of the serpent or the devil. I wrote some things down under that I want to give to you. The devil cannot offer more than God because he doesn't have more. Now you think about that. The devil took one tree, and convinced Eve that it was better than any of the trees of the garden. If the devil can get you in a conversation with him, you are going to lose. If he can get you curious enough about his offer to listen to him, he will talk you into settling for less. Amen. How could the devil, who is exceedingly less than God, offer more than God? Amen. The devil is always behind. Listen to this statement right here. The devil is always behind the choice of settling for less. I'm tempted to go back and deal with that term, settling for less. Settling for less. How many people is going to live their life and die and never really be where God wants them to be or do what God wants them to do because they settled for less? I wonder how many times God has put a call out there, but because there was some inconvenience associated with it or some discomfort associated with it, they settled for less. Well, I don't want that. I told my wife yesterday, I said, I don't want to waste what little bit of life I've got left. I don't know how many days that is, months that is, or years that is. None of us do, really. I said, but I sure don't want to waste my life. I said to my wife, I said, I'm just going through here one time. Boy, you think about that. And think about how quickly that is. You're born one day, and you're facing the end of your life the next, seemingly. Someone said, like on the tombstone, you have the birth day and you have the death date, and all that's in between the two is just a little small hyphen or a dash. Just a little dash. And so could I say again, the devil is going to be the one that's always behind offering you the lesser choice, not God. God will never say, okay, here's my best. Here's my best, but I understand if you want less. I'll let you have that. I'll let you do that. No, the less choice is always the offer that comes from the serpent. Amen? And can I get, Lord, give this to me this afternoon. Oh, my goodness. I sat on the couch and I thought, oh my goodness, Lord. All will agree here today, and I just wrote it down because I don't want to ever forget it. All will agree that that Satan's motive behind his offer of less to Adam and Eve was to get back at God. Can we get a hold of that? The devil's motive behind attacking Eve to offer her the lesser and to get her to settle for less was the devil's desire of revenge to attack God. Oh my. And I wrote right below that, I put, wow. Satan talking you and I into settling for less is really a victory for him against God. Or you could flip that on the other side, Brother Randy, and say that if we settle for less, in light of that thought there, if we settle for less, not only is that a victory for the devil, but that is a bad light, that puts a bad light on God. That puts a defeat aspect about God. Amen. All right. Now, I'm telling you, that could be preached right there. Mercy. So anyway, settling for less is always going to be the offer of the devil. Let's go on and move to another point, another principle. I don't know what number this is. Number four, I guess it is. Settling for less will always be the choice of the flesh. Would you agree with me that when Eve began to consider partaking of what God said don't, that the flesh was in charge? Settling for less will always be the choice of the flesh. The flesh, and when I'm talking about flesh, I'm talking about your Adamic nature, your earthly nature, your depraved nature, your fallen nature. Your fallen nature will always choose the less. It'll settle for less. Your flesh don't want to go with God. Your flesh does not want to live in Canaan when there's Egypt to dwell in. The flesh is not attracted to the more of God. The flesh is interested in and will have an appetite for the less. Amen. Know that if it's your choice, listen, here's a good point. If your choice is contrary to the Word of God, it is for the flesh and it is of the flesh. When the Word of God gives clarity about instructions in a matter, and the Bible is clear on a lot of matters, When there is a choice that contradicts God's word in your life, you're being tempted to partake of the less. You're being tempted to settle for less. Guess what? Guess what that means? That means it's for the flesh. It cannot be God if it's contrary to his word, I guess is what I'm saying. There's no way that it can be a plus in your life when it contradicts the scripture. I don't really know other way to say that and simplify it even any more than that. Amen. Beware of the flesh becoming interested and curious about what is the less. I know that's just a one-line statement, but I've seen many fall under that statement. They got curious. They got interested. And I'll tell you what else you can do. Let me ask you something. Do you think that forbidden fruit, whatever type it was, do you think that there was a good taste of that? Do you think there was an element of pleasure of that? Do you think when she sunk her teeth into that, whatever it was, I know his tradition says it was an apple tree, which more than likely it wasn't. But either way, do you think that she tasted of that and it was like a crab apple? Just immediate bitterness? No. Friend, the power of sin is the pleasure of sin. I promise you, when the devil says this is going to taste good, your flesh is going to like it. Your flesh is going to like it. Amen? Because he don't want you to just eat once of it. He wants you to come back every day. He wants you to develop a testimony and tell other people, you know what? This one tree is less than the rest, but you know what? It tastes good. Why fool with all of that? That requires tilling and gardening and dressing it and work and labor when you can have this that requires nothing. Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Ackley. So it's always going to be the choice of the flesh. Next, I just say next, I don't know what number it is. The next principle that I see was that normally settling for less is attached to lazy and easy. What about that? Somebody said, next point, preacher, next point. Normally settling for less is attached to lazy and easy. The greater choice is a garden, the Bible shows us in chapter 2, verse 9. The greater choice, God's will, was a garden in chapter 2, verse number 9. All right, listen to this. And of course, I done pointed out in chapter 2, verse 9, God said that which grew there in the garden was pleasant to sight and good for food. Pleasant to the sight and good for food. But we all know that that garden required some effort, some tilling, some dressing, some work, you know. That's where most people don't like it. They would want God's best and not settle for less if they didn't have to do nothing. Say amen right there. But to work it and exert, look at chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Adam was doing that. Adam was doing what God said, but Eve, I don't know what happened to Eve, but she laid her her shovel down or whatever instrument she had, and she went off somewhere away from Adam, her husband, her head. And when the devil got her away and got her alone, he moved in for the work and for the kill. I believe solitude is one of the playgrounds of the enemy. The devil wants to get you away and get you away from authority and get you at a place where you're alone. And then he can talk to you and talk you into things and tempt you by saying nobody's looking. Adam's not looking. Adam was in the garden with her. You'll never convince me. In fact, I studied on one time. Adam was not right there with her. Adam was not right there with her. He was with her in the garden. I studied on that one time, and that same word with is used in Genesis chapter number 6 and 7. It's talking about where Noah was in the ark, or Mrs. Noah was in the ark with Noah. Well, that ark was big enough. She could have been on one end of it. And if they were married, she probably was on one end of it, and he was probably on the other end. In fact, she was probably wherever she was at, and he was probably down there with the elephants, amen. Trying to find peace in the valley. I don't know. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding about that. But the choice of settling for less is going to be attached most of the time to what is convenient, easy, and lazy. And I've never seen anybody that was lazy that was spiritual. Because your spiritual life requires so much action and activity and attention constantly. Amen. I just put, Lord, put that there, and I just what I gave you. Amen. Brother Mark Green said, if it's easy, God's probably not in it. Y'all remember him making that statement? Several years ago, I've never forgotten it. If it's easy, God's probably not in it. Man, I tell you, living the Christian life it's got some mountains to climb. Yeah, but look what you can see when you get up at the top. Amen. It's got some valleys that you cross. Well, look at what you'll be able to tell other people about those that's going through those same valleys. You can make it. I've done been through there. So anyway, normally settling for less is attached to lazy and easy. Next. Settling for less. Well, this is going to get big. I don't know what it is because it got big at the house. Settling for less will always be attached to your hunger. What was it chapter 2 verse 9 said? God said of all those trees in the garden that you could eat, God said in chapter 2 verse number 9, they're not only good for sight, but good to look on, good for sight, pleasant to the sight, but he says good for food. Now I want to ask you something. Why was Eve hungry? The devil tempted her, Brother Brad, in the area of hunger. Hey, this right here is going to be good for food. Well, if she was full, it wouldn't appeal to her. How many's been full before and then somebody offered you something to eat? I mean, you're full plumb up to here, and somebody, come on in. Oh, no, Lord, if I eat, no. And you turn it down. You turn the offer down. Why? Because you're full. Here Eve is in a garden full of trees that she's told to eat. She's got liberty to eat. Why is she not full? I'll tell you, friends, for some reason, she had quit eating like she had been eating. And there was an emptiness in her. There was a hunger in her. And the devil, the serpent, moved in quickly in his attack to start offering her the less to feed her. And she ended up taking it. Settling for less is always going to be attached to your hunger. Amen. I took a statement Brother C.T. Townsend said, but I added just a little bit to it. But I still give him the credit. The danger about being hungry is that you're subject to eat anything. If you get hungry and you make the choice, you can go to what is recommended, what is commanded, the right, the true, and feed there. And thank God we can feed there. But you also can make a choice to settle for less, Brother Craig, and you can go to the forbidden, and many multitudes of people are doing that. You can go to the forbidden and feed there. I say again, the choice of less, settling for less, is attached to hunger. Amen. Because the devil used that same thing in chapter number 3 to show Eve about the forbidden tree of knowledge of good and evil, that it also was good for food. But again, Brother Ivan, if she had been full, how many people lives in a spiritual fullness? We wonder why there's multitudes of people in church caving in to all kinds of temptations and all kinds of spiritual collapse. They hadn't been feeding. Can you see how conniving and how sly the devil is to move in and just take advantage of you not eating? I'm not talking about physical eating. I'm talking about spiritually. Not feeding yourself on what God's commanded us to do and eat, what the liberties we have. And he moves in and says, look right here. You're hungry. You're hungry, you know, in your marriage. You're hungry in your morals. You're hungry in this area. Well, look over here. Look at this offer behind door number 1. Look at door number 2, door number 3. Look at all these offers. And he takes advantage of your hunger. I want to say it again. The danger of being hungry is you're subject to eat anything. And if you get hungry enough, you can either choose to eat a steak or the whole cow, amen, or you can choose to eat a run-over possum in the road. I've heard of people eating all kinds of things, bugs, worms. I thought, unto God, I'd never eat that nastiness. You get hungry enough, you'll eat anything. Say amen right there. And kids, children, you have to keep a close eye on them. They're not even all that hungry. They're just interested. They'll put anything in their mouth. And when I say anything, I mean that is without limitations. That's right. Amen. I mean, they'll eat bugs. That's right. Brother Randy Bain and his family come down to see us when we lived in South Carolina, and we ate to fix supper and everything. And I had rabbits. I had baby rabbits out in the back, tame rabbits for Blake when he was little. Well, of course, those rabbit pellets looks like chocolate balls or something. I don't know. Well, Brother David Bain, the son, was out there, and I mean, he was up under the pen, you know. I mean, they just piles of it. And I mean, he thought he was in chocolate heaven, son. He was laying it in the shade. But he wasn't, that made me want to puke or regurgitate. But he was just loving it. I mean, he would put one in with the left hand and reach and get another one with his right hand, and he was just thinking, my goodness, I like coming to Preacher Rackley's house. He's got a yard full of all kind of delicacies. Amen. I don't know what I was thinking back when I was little, but I about made the crossing before I ever reached the age of accountability. I was in, you know, kids are curious, kids are plunderers, and they're climbers, and they're getting the kitchen cabinets and everything else. And so I'm crawling. I wasn't even walking. I'm crawling around. Next thing you know, I was opening doors, and I got up under the kitchen cabinet, and there looked like milk to me. I thought it was milk. I guess I thought it was milk. I don't remember nothing about it. But it was furniture polish, and I drank about a half of that thing. I thought, man, alive, this is wonderful. And if Mama hadn't come in when she did, I would have died right there. I'd done turned purple and black and blue and quit breathing and everything. Of course, back then, you know, Mamas didn't know how to do anything. That was before 911 and all that stuff. They didn't know how to do anything was but to grab them by their feet, turn them upside down, and beat the devil out of them. Amen. So Mama grabbed me up, turned me upside down, and started beating me. I thought, well, amen, it worked. All that mess drained out, and I got to where I could breathe, and then I went to the hospital, and I've had trouble ever since. But anyway, I don't know how I got on that. Settling for less will always be attached to hunger. Beware, be cautious. if you're starting to get hungry. And I wrote these things down, just some applications that I think is worth mentioning here. Feeding on the liberties of God will prevent the starving that the devil can use against you. Feeding on the liberties of God, all those trees around you that you can feed on, all those things that you can do, if you'll feed on those things, you will not be starving so that when the devil makes an offer of the less, you'll turn it down. Why? Because you're full. Getting slack on feeding on what God commanded will result in you feeding on the forbidden. It's amazing that Eve was in the very garden of God, and eventually, or evidently, she got hungry. How many heard that? Eve is in the very garden of God, and she's hungry. Wow. What about that? And with that thought, I wrote underneath that, what's around you is not what feeds you. You can sit on a church pew and have truth all around you. You can sit in a Sunday school class and truth being taught and preacher preaching and truth being sung in the songs. Be all around you and you still be starving. Amen. What's around you is not what feeds you. Only that which you partake of, if it's the right thing, will feed you. Of course, I made it very personal. You can attend RBT with food all around and be starving. At the same time, while sitting on these pews with truth all around, and I think, I'm not much of a preacher, but I feed myself, and I think surely if I feed myself, then surely there's food for you. But I wonder how many people feeds here. I think that often. I wonder how many people really slides their feet up under the table and feeds here. I wonder how many people leaves the service and boy, that fed me. And you go out of here, you're chewing on principles. You're chewing on truths that was given. Amen. The devil don't want you to feed. He don't want you to be interested in what is being put on the table. Brother Adam, most of the time growing up, I'm not that much now. I mean, I could take desserts or leave it, or take them and leave it. I mean, really. If I go to a buffet place, you know, like Golden Crown or whatever, and I go to a place like that, instead of going to the dessert table or the dessert bar and getting all that chocolate mess, I'd rather go back and get me a baked chicken leg, another piece of chicken or something. Praise God. You feel something on that, Brother Craig? Yeah, let's go. Amen. I got on the chocolate and my mind went blank. Amen. I had a carnal moment there. Lord help us. Yeah, Brother Craig's feeding. But you can be all around food unless you eat. You're not going to be fed. But I wonder how many people really feeds right here. And I try my best to study. Brother Ivan told me it was Saturday. Well, it was yesterday, wasn't it? Was that when you was over at the house or Friday? Friday. He said, preacher, I don't understand how you study the way you study. And I have to constantly be studying. And Brother Brad, that does not necessarily mean that I'm sitting at my study desk or on the couch, you know, but I've got my mind in gear. I've got my mind in gear with meditation upon a verse or upon a truth or upon a subject. And God gives me things, and I'm writing them down constantly, writing them down, writing them down, writing them down. It requires a lot. It requires a lot of studying on my part to set the table for you. I mean, in this church, listen, in this church, there are some Bible students. I mean, in this church, there are not only just Bible students, there's young people in this church that studies, reads, they have a relationship with the Word of God. I don't pride myself on that, but I tell you, I know my responsibility of studying to have something to give you. Amen? Because if it don't feed me, more likely it won't feed you. But I thought you can be sitting here just like Eve was in that garden of God. You can be sitting here with truth coming at you from all kinds of angles and forms and shapes and sizes, amen, and not feed. How many people don't get one thing out of the service? Now, I don't know about you, if that happened occasionally, if that happened sporadically, I don't know that I'd be overly concerned. But if it's consistent, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or whatever, ever how often you come, and there's no, you seemingly don't get hooked in with the spiritual food that is being placed on the table, something is wrong with that. And the devil will move in, take advantage of that hunger, and offer you that which you did not need. I know where I was going with that illustration a while ago. That's the way I am. I'm slow. If I leave you out there dangling, I may come back to it before I finish. But Mama, she could cook, Lord. She's probably going to be helping with the marriage supper. I mean, her and Grandma's probably up there bossing everybody around now. I don't know. But now, buddy, she could put some groceries on the table. And sometimes I'd slip off down. Mama, Grandma, you know, Grandma, they let you buy anything. Come on, Grandma's. Amen, Miss Betty. Say amen right there. And I would, Grandma Chapman and Grandpa had a store down foot of the hill. So it was very convenient. Very easy. 5-minute walk, Brother Brad. I can be in Grandma's store. How you like that for emphasis? I could be in Grandpa's store with all kind of candy and nastiness and stuff ain't good for you. Oh, yeah, get you some of that, son. Well, then I'd go home at supper time. Mama had all this blood, sweat, and tears that she'd put into putting it on the table. I mean, oh, but I wasn't hungry. I'd done been full of junk, nasty candy bars, healthy candy bars, but candy bars. But I didn't want to eat what was good for me because I was full. What are you feeding on? What do you feed on through the week? You can't feed on the world through the week and come in here and feed on God Sunday. It don't matter who's preaching. It don't matter who's preaching, who's teaching. No matter how much depth is in it, how much truth's in it, whatever. It doesn't matter. You're not going to feed if you're full. That makes sense. All right, let me move on. I've got to move on. Some of you are getting done before me. Here's two more and I'm done. The next one is, in our text, to settle for less is a sin. Now you can try to smooth that over if you want to. But when Eve partook of the forbidden, and Adam eventually did, there was sin. Well, preacher, don't matter if it's the best or if it's the less. No, less is sin. Do we view it that way? Do we view it that way? So in our text, less is sin. Choosing, the reason I brought this out is because the Lord gave me two more while the choir was singing, so I about forgot about it. I had it stuck in my Bible. Oh, you think two more, Lord help us. I hope God's given you something. Choosing to settle for less, here's the next one. Choosing to settle for less causes broken fellowship with those that are wanting the greater. When Eve yielded to the lesser, Adam was still out there feeding on the greater, and there was broken fellowship and division. When you choose to settle for less, you're going to put yourself on a level to where you are out of fellowship with other people that's wanting what God wants. Well, preacher, I don't know what's happened, but I just don't seem to fit in no more. What have you been feeding on? What have you been feeding on? The fellowship, listen to this, the fellowship around the lesser life will involve the serpent himself as well as others who care nothing about the greater choices of life. When you choose to settle in and feed on the less, the only people you're going to fellowship with, of course, the serpent's going to be hanging around that tree. And the only other people that's going to be there is those that have partake of that same tree as well. But people that is wanting God's will, They're feeding on God's commandments. They're feeding on God's word. They're in fellowship with God. You won't have fellowship with them. My, my. Listen to this. And I'm again being personal. I've seen several marriages, or I could say we have. I've seen several marriages over the past 25 years right here in this church split up over one mate wanting the less, choose and settle for the less, while the other mate wanted to go with God. And I'm not going to name some of those, but I could name several. In fact, it disturbs me how many right in this one church, marriages that have split up over that issue. It's not always that issue, but I could name several that it did. One wanted the carnal. The other wanted the spiritual. One wanted the less. The other wanted to go more. Have a heart for God. Amen. God help us. You need to, I know we've got several young people in here. Young people, you need to look at those things. Consider those things. Because when you say I do, you've done it. Amen. And you need to make choice with someone that's going to complement your faith instead of contradict your faith or complicate your faith. You need to make a choice over someone that already has a proven record of serving God and honoring God and living for the Lord. So anyway, may God help us. Mention these things right here I got earlier. Yielding to, this one's probably the worst one of all. Yielding to the level of less will prove to be very costly. They not only did she have broken fellowship with Adam, her husband, but they ultimately ended up, and by the way, on that marriage thing, when Eve was choosing the less and Adam was still, at one point, was still up there feeding on the greater, feeding on God's commandments, feeding on what God said to do, and the fellowship was broken. The choice there, Brother McCarricker, was for Adam to step away from the spiritual life, to step away from God's will in order to have fellowship with his wife. My. But there was that relationship, Brother Ivan, that was, the fellowship was broken. But the worst one of it all was that their fellowship with God was broken. God came into the garden to walk with them in the cool of the day as he had been doing and fellowshipping with Adam and Eve. And all of a sudden now something's changed. Something has happened. They're not there to meet with God. They're not aggressively and eagerly running out to meet with God and have enjoyable fellowship with God. Now they're running and hiding from God. Choosing the lesser. Settling for less will no doubt result in broken fellowship horizontally, but also it'll result in broken fellowship vertically with God. And parents, I want us all to listen to this one. Lord, give it to me while the choir was singing. If we as parents make the choice to settle for less, don't be shocked if our children don't. Adam and Eve conceived and bore children. Cain and Abel, of course, Seth and all that. But Cain was born. Abel then was born. Come sacrifice time, Abel offers the first of his flock, you know, a blood sacrifice. What did Cain do? Settled for less. They both knew, you know good and well, that they both knew about sacrificing to God and what God required. They, no doubt, Adam and Eve told their children about the time that when they settled for the less, their eyes were open, they saw they were naked, and they put on fig leaves But then God slew a sacrifice and clothed them with the coat or the skin of a sacrifice. You see right there? Showing us even when Jesus comes, that's what was going to do. God was going to take a lamb, the sacrifice of a lamb, and clothe us who were naked concerning righteousness. But Cain offered the lesser. Oh, I don't have to get that bloody religion. I don't have to do that. Look what I've done. I've grown this fruit, the best, the fruit of the ground. And Brother Brad, though it was his best and impressive, he still settled for less than what God's will was. And it brought division even between them two and resulted at an opportunity of Cain killing Abel. Parents, may we learn just a simple, profound truth right there. You can't make a choice as a parent to go with the less, settle for less, and expect your children to choose the best. What a parent does, listen, how's that saying? What a parent tolerates, the child will do in excess. How many's heard that statement before? What a parent will tolerate in their life, a child will take that and go to the excess with it. What a parent may do with a little, a child will do a lot. God help us to not settle for less. And we've learned those truths and simple truths there about the first illustration, first example of Adam and Eve. And I don't know, I don't know how much that God wants us to deal with this, how long God wants us to deal with this. But there are, the scriptures are full of examples of people that chose and settled for less. And the very concept of settling for less indicates that there's more. You can't have less if there's not something to compare it to come up with that description of less. There has to be more. How many people are settling for less when you know there's more? You know there's a deeper walk. You know there's higher heights spiritually for you. You know that there's the will of God for you. You know that. But you listen, it's easy to make a choice to go with what's convenient instead of what's commanded. You could add that even. That tree, that forbidden, the less, was right in the Bible said it was in the midst of the garden. No matter where they were in that garden, that forbidden tree was in the midst, and I just take that literal, Brother Brad, meaning it was in the middle. So wherever they were in that garden, that less that's always present was easily accessible. You could get to it from any point in your life. It don't matter how long you've been saved, if it's a few days or a few months or even many, many years, that choice of less is always convenient. It's always easily accessible. May God help us and may God drive it home in us. I don't want to choose the less. And since I've been studying on this, I've been preaching, Wednesday night and then again tonight, I've looked in my life, and every little thing I'd say, is this the best I could be doing? Is this the best I could be doing right now? Could I be doing something that's better than this? Could I be doing something that's greater than this? And I believe if we look at our life, we will find that many, many decisions and choices in our life, we are choosing the less. When you play more than you pray, you're choosing the less. Amen. When you read everything and anything more than you do this, you've chosen the less. When you've allowed little things to get between you and church, you've chosen the less. God help us. I don't want that. I want God to help me. Listen, I'm telling you, I know I'm preaching it to you, but I want God to help me with this truth that it will have an impact on the rest of my days. That's what I want. Amen. Let's bow for prayer.